Want to catch up with the national pastime in a short time? Tune into the Morning Lineup podcast. Every weekday, in less than 10 minutes, we'll bring you all the wonderful...
He's done it again! See ya! A monster two-run home run!
All the wild...
Here comes Ramos! This game is over!
All the weird...
Contreras is chewing on the tape.
...that makes the MLB season special. Check out the Morning Lineup on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Big week for the Gardos as well. Got to get into that as well. But right now, we head out to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. You know her work from NFL Network. She is a tremendous football analyst. She's good at math, too, which I clearly have no concept of. I couldn't find out 0.1% of $5 billion last week, and that was... So maybe she can help us with that.
Yeah, Woodson buying part of the Browns really threw us for a loop there. We forgot the times 100 part of calculating percentages.
And I love that you said it was us, because it was most certainly me. Thank you for tying yourself and syncing with me.
None of us was great there.
Yeah. Cynthia Freeland joins us now. Cynthia, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. How are you guys?
Good. How was your weekend?
It was great. I appreciate the... I would have loved to join you guys on Friday, but... I would have been joining you from a vineyard because I was on my bachelorette party.
Look at that. That is awesome.
Maybe I don't do so much, you know, the math and the football isn't as clear to understand when you're on a vineyard, you know, just a thing.
Because you opened Pandora's box. Now,
yes, of course.
Was this a one-day bachelorette or is this a week? Is it like the movie Sideways where it seemed like to go on for like 2 weeks? What are we talking here?
We did like Friday to Sunday. You know, I'm very fortunate that my friends they took good care of me. So very fortunate for that.
Are you still hungover?
No, I'm good. Not.
That's good. That is good.
It was so nice. The weather was great. Like I wanted to be outside, went to the pool. You know, we made a, I didn't want to not remember it.
How far was the trip from where you're currently at? Because I had this with my bachelor party too, is that you feel like it's such a big ask when it's all said and done. You're just asking so much of everyone.
You know, so I went to business school and I went with my business school friends. So four of the seven all live in San Francisco. So it wasn't too far for the majority. And then two of us are down in Southern California and it's just a quick flight up there. So all things considered, it wasn't so bad. Not so bad compared to some of the ones I've been on where you've had to go like international.
Yeah.
You're like, man, sheesh.
Okay, that's nice of you. Okay, that was respectful. That was very nice, because I feel like sometimes people, they ask the world of it, and you're like, listen, I get it. I know you came to all my stuff, but like this is tough now.
Yeah, for sure. It's, you know, it's, I don't like to, listen, I'm like a Midwesterner. We don't like to like take up too much space, you know, like we're nice. I appreciate my niceness, but my friends were so great.
Yeah, I think like my like farthest trip on a bachelorette, our bachelor weekend, my bachelorette weekend,
you let the hair down that weekend.
Bachelorettes just keep asking me to their parties, and they keep giving me singles. Like, who am I to say no, right, Cynthia?
Obviously, I mean, how can you possibly say no? I mean, I just don't think you can.
It's a business opportunity. What can I do here?
Nick is the one that comes with the what we'll call fun straws.
Good Lord. All right. Cynthia, how much of a win total difference does it make for the Browns from if Joe Flacco or Kenny Pickett starts week one to if Shedeur Sanders or Dylan Gabriel start week one?
Well, the thing about having rookies, and this is true for any rookie, regardless of, you know, where they were drafted or what they would, you know, it's just hard. Your welcome to the NFL moment is never going to be easy for you. There's a ton of stats that show that, you know, rookies have a hard time winning their first games. You know, we could go through all of them if you wanted to, but ultimately, you know, it's not going to be easy for any rookie. So it is harder to have that. And, you know, it's never... Obviously, the Bengals, you know, that's the home opener. The home opener is their defense isn't the strength of their team. But going up against a Joe Burrow-led team it's in the division is difficult as well. And then you got the Ravens next and then the Packers. Like, it's not an easy September for any quarterback for the Browns. So, you know, it does change it in a pretty good amount if a rookie starts or not. But then there's other things that could suggest that later in the season it's better for – the rookies who have had experience, especially against defenses that are of the caliber of the Ravens, for example, so that you have the opportunity to learn and grow and kind of get past that rookie base. So it's kind of a trade-off, right? Which one do you decide, you know, what works best and when?
Cynthia, why does it feel like nationally a lot of people believe it'll be Joe Flacco week one, but then locally we're all kind of keen in on the idea that it feels like it'll be Kenny Pickett week one? There's a divide here. I don't know if you feel that same way as well, but it feels you do.
You know why? Because Joe Flacco has been fun for like national media to watch. So, and not to be offensive to Kenny Pickett, but he hasn't had that comeback story that Joe Flacco had, right? Like, Joe Flacco's just been like a storyline, right? We've talked a lot about him. It's been funny. Like, there's been, last year it was like hilarious to watch him on the field, not remembering people's names after games. Like, people are just more used to saying his name than Kenny Pickett's. I don't think it has anything to do with a perception about skill or whatever. I think it has a lot more to do with that we've just been talking a lot more about him in recent years than we have about Kenny Pickett.
Cynthia, one of the main talking points last week for us was that not the strength of schedule doesn't matter to every team equally.
No.
I will ask you, how much will strength of schedule, the Browns thought to have one of the three toughest schedules in the NFL this year, how much will that matter to this Browns team this year?
Well, I mean, it will matter based on how the offense is constructed, meaning is the expectation going into the season that you're next year having a guy who would be perceived as a franchise quarterback, or is it that they're trying to figure some things out and willing to tinker more? It's all about managing expectations. You're just unfortunately in a division where, okay, like, how surprised were you that it was one of the hardest schedules? I don't know. When you're in the AFC North, does it ever feel like an easy schedule? Like, no. Mm-hmm. So I guess it's different. Like, the entire NFC West this year, for example, they get to play the NFC South and the AFC South. That feels easier, but they still have to play each other, and the NFC West is still pretty difficult as well. So I mean, yes and no, some of it matters. It really matters in your division a lot more often, like if you're playing a first place versus a fourth place schedule, but I don't know, your division is a nightmare.
It is. Right. Cynthia, what does it look like to you if it's, and you don't have to say whether between Dylan or Shador, just one of the rookie quarterbacks, what do they have to look like from a maybe even a win-loss percentage, but also then a statistical standpoint where you're like, okay, we don't need to go quarterback in 2026 with the two first-round picks we have?
Yeah. I would say, to me, the metrics would be, can you operate the system? Like, I understand it's been used in the pejorative to call someone a system quarterback in the past, but I actually think, like, until you are of a Tom Brady or a Patrick Mahomes status, you are a system quarterback. You have to learn the system first, then you can become the guy who imparts the system. So when I'm looking at this, Kevin Stefanski is a great coach. Can you run and operate the things and the principles he is trying to teach you? If the answer is yes, then you're in great shape for next season. If the answer is no, then also the Browns as an organization are in great shape with their picks and where they're located in the draft next year. Great. None of these things are, to me, it's all upside, right? The question will really become, does this human, whoever it is, you know, maybe Kenny Pickett has this resurgent year and he can operate the system masterfully. Even that would be like great. If you can get a guy for even let's say 5 years to operate at a really high level, you'd be really happy.
Cynthia Freeland of the NFL Network on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. So I was reading your piece on the NFL on NFL.com about each AFC team's win total projection after the schedule release here. The Browns, for you, you've got the least amount of wins in the AFC, 5.6 wins. So I'm just curious, like, what are the factors that determine for you whether they go over or under that win total?
In August, my number for the Browns will be something I feel stronger about. Right now, there's just so much uncertainty at quarterback, right? And quarterback being such an important position, and how the O-line will help or not help the quarterback, how all of these different, like, what is the expectation? If for some reason in August we hear Dylan Gabriel's a starter, it's just, it's a different metric than if we hear, you know, they're starting with Kenny or Joe. Like, that's going to be different expectations set. Your schedule is a total nightmare, and the beginning of the schedule starting so hard that makes things harder to succeed when, you know, in the areas where maybe there's more manageable games that are stacked in a row, right? Like, you know, I think, like, by the time you get to November, you'll have the real win for the Browns will be, how does it look against, you know, the Raiders on November 23rd? Like, how does it look against the Titans, a team that's also had a lot of, you know, they'll have a new quarterback and they've got a lot of change and whatever. How does it look against the teams where you have a real chance later in the season? But your schedule's a nightmare, like basically start to finish.
Let me ask you, you mentioned that you think Kevin Stefanski's great, and a lot of people really do like Kevin Stefanski. This isn't on him necessarily, but the question is, like, what part of Stefanski do you love the most when historically you're entering year six, one playoff win, and that entire stretch, most people wouldn't have their job at this point?
Well, yeah, I mean, look, there's a couple of things. Number one, even though he's maybe not the most, like, charismatic interviewer for the media, right? Like, I don't care. Are you teaching people? And if you talk about what people have learned from him and how former players talk about the way that he has, like, ask Kirk Cousins, a guy who is very good at speaking, what he learned from Kevin Stefanski, and you will get an answer that you'll be like, oh, darn, like, that's really, really great. Teaching players how to play football is so hard, especially in the changing landscape of, you know, now these kids making a lot of money coming out of college, that it's just a different sort of level of, you know, what they do in college, they were allowed to leave, right? So now what, right? Like, now they're going to act a little differently. But the fact that he does it without, like, you know, being this head coach that, like, Dan Campbell, I'm, you know, he seems pretty fun, but, and he's a really good interview, but is he really teaching the guys what to do? My answer is probably no. Whereas Kevin Stefanski is really teaching the guys what they need to be doing.
Cynthia, Brock Purdy gets a $265 million deal, $55 a year, about $180 million guaranteed. Is this a good decision by the 49ers to give him the bag?
I mean, did they really? Like, I love, listen, let me be clear. I love agents and how they report stuff. Because, like, listen to that spread. 265 or 181. Like, what's the truth? We don't really know, right? Like, the truth is probably closer to the guarantee than the upside, because the agent is incentivized to report this massive number. They didn't have a choice. What are the Niners going to do? Who are the Niners going to go out and get? Kirk Cousins?
Like, could have done that.
Are they going to maybe convince Aaron Rodgers to come there? They were kind of, you know, that was what they had to work with. Now, I will say, I would imagine that deal is pretty cleverly written, because that spread you hear is larger than most spreads you hear about, you know, 265 versus 181. Like, you usually hear something more like, you know, 222 and 190, you know, like, where it's not as big of a spread between the potential bottom and the potential top. So I'm sure there's lots of ways that they've tricked they're a smart organization when it comes to managing how that cap actually manifests against, like, what the IRS thinks they make and what, you know, what it counts for against the very complicated shared revenue system of the NFL.
Will Trey Hendrickson play with the Bengals, or do you think he's going to get traded maybe even to an NFC North team?
Baseball is back. The 2025 MLB season is upon us. So what's the easiest way to keep up with all the big stars, top scores, and fun storylines from the night before? What's the solution? Is there a secret?
Chocolate milk and squats. That's a secret.
Not quite, Pete, but there is the Morning Lineup Podcast, a quick, less than 10-minute morning highlight show from MLB. It airs Mondays through Fridays on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts. You bring the chocolate milk, we'll bring the baseball news.
I mean, Trey Hendrickson has been unhappy. Now, here's the thing people don't realize. Trey Hendrickson, he wasn't happy signing that COVID deal, right? Like, he was mad for a couple of years now. We've heard him say things for a couple of years. And usually what happens is they get Lou Anarumo to fly out there and figure out how to make him happy enough to play. Oh, just to be the sack leader, no big deal, last season, on a defense that they've spent no money on. So now you get rid of Lou, who's obviously with the Colts, and I don't think that the new defensive coordinator is treating him in a way that will make him play for less money. So I'm not sure if I think he plays. I actually do think he gets traded, and I don't know to whom, but I think there's a very strong chance that he doesn't play there, because it does not seem like the Bengals are organized enough in a way that rewards the right things at the right time. I mean, the fact that Ja'Marr Chase played without a deal last year, Triple Crown winner Ja'Marr Chase, that's wild. Most other people wouldn't have done that. They really wouldn't have. If it weren't for his, you know, friend Joe Burrow being the quarterback, I don't think he would have, because he would have held out at least a little bit longer. But I don't think the Bengals are, and I say this you know, I stand by this, but they have not done a good job of, they're not one of the teams that's a shining example of how to, you know, manage their cap and get the deals done and pay their guys.
Cynthia, last week was the NBA draft lottery, and post that, several NFL reporters or figures, analysts, whatever, speculated the NFL could be interested in a NBA-style draft lottery in the NFL. Do you think it would work, and do you like that idea?
No, I hate that idea. Mostly because I think part of this, we have a lot more, like, the influence, there's such an outsized influence of one game on the NFL. When you don't have as many games, each one, the scarcity, drives more importance for each game. And when you have 53 people on a roster, then now you have, you know, and 1/17th of your entire season played each weekend, you need to be able to, like, parity is what makes our sport better than all the other ones, in my opinion. You know, the way that you go, you could, every year we have teams go from worst to first in their division. I can't remember the last time it hasn't happened. I'm sure my, like, you know, my research people that do the historical research, they could tell me, but it's been like 30 years, something crazy like that. And that keeps hope alive. And what is more fun on a Sunday than hope? Nothing.
I would say winning. I think sure. I don't get
Sunday
a lot of that.
Before the games start.
Okay.
The games start.
Oh, you the know? Hope of winning. Yeah, I don't get that
That's
either.
Right.
Here.
That's right.
Cynthia, great stuff. Glad you had a great weekend. And you got, sounds like you got some great friends here. And we appreciate you making some time for us.
At any time. You know I love you guys. And I hope you have a great summer. And we'll talk to you when it's, you know, when we have like some, the grass smells coming back, the leaves are starting to turn. It'll be great.
Oh, but the weather just got nice here, so you kind of just maybe
just enjoy the summer first.
Okay,
I do love that early fall. The best time of the year is early fall in the Midwest. Ooh, nothing better.
Cynthia, you're the best. Thank you so much.
Podcasting isn't just evolving; it's having a full blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast: The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Friedman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. That it's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads. We got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.